You're listening to the Two Preachers Talking Podcast, a place where the love of God and moderate thinking come to life. And now, here are the two preachers, Marty and John.
Hey, welcome back to the podcast, everybody. I'm Marty.
And I'm John.
And we are the Two Preachers Talking, coming to you from the beautiful Shenandoah Valley and here in the Toll House Studios,
John. In the Toll House Studios.
Yeah, and we're recording this on St. Patty's Day, March 17th. John doesn't have green
on. I'm not wearing green.
Somebody's going to have to pinch him.
If you hear me squeal in the middle of the podcast.
I've done reached over.
So, that's right.
How are you doing, John?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm sitting here watching our timer, man. We really set up on this podcast studio now since you put this together.
If looks were an indicator, you'd think we're good at this, but we have to live up to the equipment at this point.
Well, it's different from when we were meeting in the coffee shop or somewhere else and recording on the little task cam there and trying to figure all that out and making sure you had a SD card with you every time. So yeah.
We've matured. We've evolved.
We have.
Doesn't it feel
we
good?
We have, yes.
Just the podcast. We haven't matured.
I know. So, well, we'll chat about it, how things are going in a moment. We do want to put something out there for you guys as you begin to listen to the podcast again. I mean, we're trying to get this thing back to go together a little bit. Some things have gone on, and I guess life just went on, didn't it, John?
Life went on. It was a hectic year. It was a crazy year, and
you really have had a hectic year with the little one, and yeah. She's doing well.
She's doing great. Mm-hmm. She's exceeding a lot of the doctor's expectations, and so we are blessed. God is faithful, yeah. And it's been a ride, but we're getting it.
Yeah, I'm sure people have seen the pictures and those kind of things. So it's good that Livy's doing well and progressing in the way she should.
We go get her a little Two Preachers Talking onesie that she can be our mascot. Yeah,
even though she probably can't wear a onesie.
She can't. She's a big baby. She's a big baby.
We'll have to get her a t-shirt. So yeah, we just want to let everybody know too, though, if you're going to be heading out to annual conference this summer in Cincinnati, guess who's going to be there? Not just as delegates or pastors, but as the Two Preachers Talking.
That's it. We'll be there. It's going to be fun.
We are going to be setting up a booth there. They're trying to, I guess, re-engage the exhibit hall in some way. And so a couple of podcasters have been asked to sit in there. We said not free of charge.
We to edit that out.
No, we don't care.
We're going to call it a promotional.
That's right.
Activity.
That's right. So we're going to be setting up in there, and we're going to be doing podcasts from there, or at least doing some recording, I guess. And the podcast will be later. We don't normally do live ones, but we may sneak in something.
Sneak in a little something, throw some things together.
We'd love for you to come by and maybe join us, maybe get yourself on there. And we should give a shout-out to Mutual Aid Association.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to help co-sponsor our booth, and so we're excited that they are willing to gather around the podcast. And you know, they've reached out, and we've had some conversation with them, so we want to say thanks for the sponsorship there.
Yeah, we have some encounters with them. They insure our house and our church, so
yeah,
worked with them a little bit. So we're appreciative of what they're going to do. So we'll get them on the air as well, and you can kind of hear a little bit about what the work they do in insurance. And so, but yeah, come on by if you're in Cincinnati and one of our 3-4 listeners that are out there.
That's right. No, don't everybody rush the booth. We don't know if we can handle that kind
that's
of
right.
body count.
That's right. So, so that's sort of how our time is going. But so everything's going well, John, and you're doing the things you need to do and getting prepared for this season that we're in, I guess.
Yeah, it feels like we just got done with Christmas. You know, Easter is, we were at a music and worship meeting and somebody said something about, well, have we started planning for Easter? And I was like, oh my goodness gracious, like, it's coming.
It is crazy, isn't it? I mean, you go through Advent season and then into Christmas, and then what? And since Easter is a little bit earlier this year, sort of right at the beginning of April, it really pushes Lent not far after Christmas.
No.
What is it, about 2 months? It was less than 2 months.
Than
it
two
was
months.
Already into Lent.
Yeah.
So Easter is April 9th,
yep.
I think.
It's coming up.
It is. And so I hope, we've already talked about our sunrise service and,
yep.
I think you do a community one. I know we do an individual one at our church. So, we just gather outside the steps of the church and share scripture and some songs and then head in for some food maybe.
Well, you know, Marty, because it's getting ready to be April, you know what it is now.
What's that?
It's March. It's March Madness.
Yeah.
It's March Madness. I mean, let's just talk about that for a second.
You know, I don't watch a lot of basketball during the year.
Oh, Marty.
I'm not a basketball
this
guy.
This is the best time of the year, brother.
This is the only time I really sit and watch basketball.
Yeah.
Is to watch these games, because I'll flip through every channel. And, you know, right now you've got, since it's right at the beginning, you've got what, True TV, TNT, TBS, CBS.
It's everywhere.
You're everywhere. You know, it'll start to diminish as the season, as the time goes on. But, yeah, it's like every channel. But yesterday was a bad day for some folks in their brackets.
It was
wasn't
a bad day. It was a bad day for my bracket. My bracket got busted twice. Like, what in the world?
I think they said after Virginia lost, it was like what, like 0.6 or, you know, it was still a good percentage that were still perfect.
Yeah.
After Arizona lost, it was like 0.1.
Yeah, 0.17 or something like that.
Of perfect brackets were left. They were, but, you know, you have to imagine those have got to see some of those people that do two or three brackets at a time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm not that hardcore. Like, I only do one bracket because I have a hard enough time keeping up with it. But yeah, so we did that. I was in here in the office yesterday working on, you know, sermon and worship prep and stuff, and trying to figure out like how I could get four TVs in here. Like I could put a TV on each wall and that way I could watch all the games. Like
like you're at Buffalo Wild Wings or a bar or something, right?
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah,
see, or you need a big TV with picture in picture and picture in picture.
Well, it's funny because I was laughing about that. Remember like picture in picture used to be this huge thing, and now
Do they even do that? I don't know. My TV was set up for it at one time that I have downstairs at the house, but I don't know if it is or not.
I saw a video the other day of this kid who was like, you know what we need? We need phones that stay in one location so that anybody in the house always has a phone they can use, even if they don't have theirs. I was like, that's a landline.
That's right.
Like, that's what you killed to get the cell phone. We've come full circle.
Landline. What is that?
What's a landline? What? Yeah. That's crazy.
We always had fun when we'd watch Adam 12, you know, on the old channels. And Jill was starting to watch it. And we said, you know, they would always pull up the cop car on the street to make a telephone call because all they had was pay phones.
Yeah.
And you'd see one of them get out. And then we'd tell Jill, that's what you used to have to do.
That's lovely.
But it's lovely. Also, you know, March 30th. Guess what that is for the Nationals? Opening day.
It's opening day.
Some baseball season's coming right along. Up, too. Yeah.
I like it.
So we've got a lot happening in our sports world, and John and I like our sports. Maybe we should make this a church sports
You're not going to hear a complaint from me. I can give you the state of affairs with the Washington Commanders, but it ain't much to give right now. Good gosh.
You got rid of all your quarterbacks.
I know. I'm happy. We kept a rookie.
You'll see how he does.
As long as
we
get rid of the owner, I'll be okay. But anyway,
we'll talk about that later. Still want to go back to our previous.
That's right. Before
subject was Easter and all of those things, because
we talk about Love Feast.
We'll talk about love. You know, I was thinking we've talked about that before, but it's very relevant every time of all the, you know, this time of the year, because that's what April. 6th, I guess.
Well, it depends on when 6th. You do it. See, we do it on Palm Sunday. So ours will be April 2nd.
So now we've been doing ours on Love on Monday, Thursday. So we'll, it doesn't matter either way. I know some churches do it Palm Sunday. Some will do it Monday, Thursday.
We did it when I first came to Mount Zion. They did it on Monday, Thursday. Okay. And then we moved it to Palm Sunday to really just give people more of an opportunity.
And I've seen that's what happened at my previous congregation. That's what we did. It was on Palm Sunday, and it kind of brought out. It allowed more people to stay.
Yeah.
Good or bad, indifferent, whatever it is.
Yep.
It is the opportunity to give people a chance to know what Love Feast is all about.
Yeah, yeah. I was just thinking through, like, there was somebody in a Brethren Facebook group that we're a part of that asked the question, like, What is it that people don't like about Love Feast? Like, why is that a hard thing for people? And I don't know, like, is it just the feet? Is that what it is?
You know, I think that we've got into a spot where we don't have our traditional brethren, the folks that grew up in the Brethren church. So it's not the same for them, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
Would you say? I don't know if it's so much the feet washing itself. I mean, I do think that they might find it to be different mm-hmm. and uncomfortable, but that is kind of what it's supposed to be, is a little uncomfortable.
Right.
In the form of serving others.
I
don't know, John.
Yeah, we had a person that's new to our congregation, mm-hmm. has not been brethren, and when we were talking to them about it, they said, I don't know, it's just asking me to wash somebody's feet, mm-hmm. it feels awkward. I was like, yeah, that's kind of the point.
Right.
Like that really, like that's the feeling mm-hmm. that we're supposed to feel, is this mm-hmm. broken out of our, and some of that I think comes from the feet, but yeah. I think more yeah. of that just comes from taking that position as a whole mm-hmm. to kneel down before someone to wash their feet. Mm-hmm. Like that actually is the point. If you're feeling awkward and vulnerable, that's a good thing, right? And like you, like I think the other side is, for me, I struggle because I love Love Feast, my mm-hmm. favorite service of the year. Mm-hmm. But it can be normalized because I went to my first Love Feast when I was 8, 9 years old, sat between dad and mm-hmm. granddad, and we mm-hmm. washed feet. And, you know, so I've got 30 years of doing it. And so how do you not just make it another thing that we do? Mm-hmm. And it loses its significance because it doesn't always have that same. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a pendulum swing there, you know, for yeah, people who have been, yeah. been doing it their whole lives. Is it as awkward or as vulnerable as mm-hmm. it's supposed to be? Mm-hmm. And then for those who have never done it before, is it intimidating? And how do yeah. you, yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm like you. It's, and maybe it's because part of the thing is we've kind of gotten into a mode of church that church sometimes and worship is not awkward and uncomfortable as yeah. it maybe should be at times, to kind of teach folks that the life that we live is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. It is awkward at times. It is uncomfortable. And feet washing is kind of that manifestation of that. And just that's the one time we come into this service and we go, I don't know. But if you're used to it, yeah, like you said, if you're just used to it, you grew up in it. I didn't participate until I was a teenager, but I do remember going to the worship service, you know, the Blood Feast services, and sitting in the kids section,
the kids section,
and watching and observing. You know, that was when you would. One of the speakers talked about that at NYC, and he's supposed to be at annual conference, and he said, you know, it was that moment where, you know, as kids, we always rushed afterwards and drank up the rest of the juice and ate a little bit of bread, and you know,
yeah.
we got that time, but we didn't really get to participate. And then all of a sudden when we get there and we get to do it, you sit between a couple of men and it is an awkward feeling for the first time.
Yeah.
But, you know, and typically we don't really wash feet. We just kind of take a handful of water and pour it over the feet and then
right.
wipe it off.
Right.
So maybe if we did it like that, I do remember doing one service one time, and I think I'm going to do it again this year, is I think the week before or so, one of the guys came up and he and I demonstrated what mm-hmm. feet washing was. And for some reason, it seemed like that was a Love Feast that we had a few more people that normally did not come, came.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I need to do that because I think at least getting them to see what it is about may help as well than just kind of throwing it right onto them
yeah.
on Maundy Thursday.
Yeah.
The other thing about Love Feast Communion is, John, it's not just, you know, that part of it, but do you, and I know you raised this question, is are there things that you try to do different to kind of engage your congregation, or at least the folks that come out to Love Feast Communion, to make it a lot more meaningful? And sometimes that means you kind of get away from the tradition of it, you know,
right.
where you still incorporate the three parts of the Love Feast, which is the feet washing, the small meal, and then the bread and the cup.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different ways that we can create an encounter you know, with God in the midst of those things.
Right, right.
And do you try to, in your own work, do you try to do it different each time, or is it kind of the same but not the same? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think where we sit is it's kind of the same but not the same.
Mm-hmm.
We use the same elements. We'll use a lot of, well, of course, we use the same scriptures. But each year I do a reflection, and I try to do something different in the reflection each year and focus on a little different element. You know, like I was looking back, and last year I focused really on the servanthood of washing feet. From the context of we were reengaging church after COVID, we had kind of been isolated and what it meant to serve. And we talked about all the different ways that the church had served, was called to serve folks in this time. And, you know, the year before that, we really focused on the love of Christ.
Okay.
And, mm-hmm. and you know, what does agape for an agape mm-hmm. meal mean? Mm-hmm. I haven't really, this confession time, I haven't really thought about this love feast yet.
I haven't either, I'll confess.
Yeah, one of the things we did, I think maybe you saw it, is we created a video to invite folks, and we did the example of washing feet in the video so that people would see, so we could share that across mediums, you know, at church, worship, Facebook, all the places. And so that was a good way for us to engage it. So now the next piece then becomes figuring out what the actual service looks like.
Yeah.
And I think you can... You know, I've used different poems, I've used different songs, we have used different, all sorts of different things. And I get it that there are some folks, they open up their minister's manual and they read it word for word, it's the same service every year.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, go for it. You know, that's if that's how you want to do it. But I think for me, and I think for our congregation, we appreciate different lenses to view the love feast through, because it's a very complex, like... I would argue that I think the love feast is the most diverse theological lens we have in the Church of the Brethren.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing we do that ties so much of Brethren theology, whether it's community, service, simplicity, you know, it ties all of our Brethren theology together. And I would actually argue that it's the thing. I know people are like, oh, it was about baptism. Well, yeah, when the original eight went, it was about baptism. But I think Love Feast ties all of our theology together, and it's an amazing place to unpack that piece by piece on how who we are as a people ties together in that one moment.
Yeah, and that's a great argument to make in doing that. So I was going to say that one of the things I do try to incorporate, you know, COVID kind of hit us and changed a little bit how we did it. Normally, it would have been, for us, it had been down in the social hall, gather around tables. COVID kind of hit and changed that, because I guess that first year or so we didn't do it, as well as the fact that we lost some of our folks that participated in Love Feast Communion through death,
right?
Or maybe moved on to another state of life and home or somewhere like that. So we had to kind of change it up. And last year was actually different in that we did it the way our church is made. There's a sanctuary. There's a little ante room and an overflow room, we call it, that you can block off, but you can use it as well. And it has movable chairs in it. It doesn't have the pews. It's got the chairs you can move. So you know, I kind of knew how many would come. I knew the persons who were still there that normally came to Love Feast. And so we fix it up there in the social hall, up in the overflow, and sat in a circle.
Okay.
Now, we did do the feet washing, where we had the ladies stay there, and the men went to a little Sunday school room. We had that open. But and instead of beef and broth, we had somebody had a sandwich tray, you know, of the different meats and cheeses and breads, and you could just put your sandwich together. We sat in our places and drank water and, you know, and had our sandwiches and fruit. And after that, this past year or so, I've been told, we want to do that again.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they felt like, you talk about the idea of community, how much better did it feel to be in community when you could all sit together in one spot? You weren't necessarily sitting men and women in different spots. You were all sitting together wherever you wanted to. Now, the only time we broke apart would be feet washing, which we kind of divide that out. I think there's a lot of reasons for that, I would suspect. But I was impressed with how folks really felt more engaged, I think, in the Love Feast Communion. And I think, as you said, I think it was not so much maybe the service part, but the community part.
Right.
Because they all of a sudden felt like we can see each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see everybody, not just the women and not just the men that sit at the tables and talk.
Yeah.
But, you know, and then not to have the beef and broth was unique, but a lot of them told me, says, I'm glad we didn't have to put that together.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was so much easier to go to Walmart or Costco or something and get that tray of food and just let people do stuff themselves. I think it kind of put a different spin on what Love Feast is about. And so, but I think you're right. Excuse me. I think it kind of puts us in that place of being a community. It teaches us where we can have that vulnerability and then the way we did our meal, it was very simple.
Right. Right.
There was nothing fancy about it.
Hey, I've told you before, there's a guy in my congregation, he wants us to do pizza. And he's like, if Jesus was alive today and he was going to have a meal with his friends, like, would he just show up with some pizza? I'm like, hey guys, grab a slice. Let's sit down and talk. And
all he did was tell the guys, go get it prepared. Go,
yeah.
There's somebody that'll prepare it for you.
Yeah.
My previous congregation, the way we did it, we did potluck.
Yeah.
Soup. We did and had just crock pots of soup.
Yeah.
And so we sat as families. You invited the children to have lunch. You had the meal first so the children could eat. And then they went off, you know, to do their thing while we did Love Feet. We did the feet washing and the bread and the cup. So, you know, I think if we, you know, we might put a lot of pressure on ourselves sometimes because we've got to have a certain meal. You've got to have it a certain way.
Right.
I think you're right. In that time, what would Jesus really have encouraged his disciples to do? Maybe go to Benny's and, you know, Sorrentino and eat one of those big pizzas together.
Because
it was, 12 of them, 13 of them together?
Yeah. And if what we're focusing on in the midst of that meal is the menu, we've missed the point. Right? And that's where that legalism comes into, right? If we spend a longer time debating or analyzing the meal, where we're going to be, the point of the of Love Feast is not to focus on the thing, it's to focus on the heart, right? And I actually I love the moment of self-reflection, and we build that into the service sometimes. Typically, even before we do communion, we do bread and cups separate a couple times throughout the year.
Yes.
And we'll build that in, you know, throughout before we do the bread and cup is we take a step back. And traditionally, some way or form, we'll ask the traditional three questions, you know, are you at peace with God? Are you at peace with your neighbor? And will you continue to tarry with the church for the gospel of Christ? And allow people that. And if we have spent so long trying to figure out, was it beef broth? Is it sandwiches? Is it pizza? Is it whatever it is? If that's what we're talking about, we have missed the boat, you know, because I think there's amazing symbolism, right? You study the Passover meal. I don't want to discount that. Like what Jesus ate has some important aspects to it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an amazing point for us to reflect on. But at the same time, if we let that hang us up, that's problematic.
But in the end, wasn't it sort of the meal of the day anyway?
Right.
Traditional Passover meal.
Right.
For us, does it have, you know, what is a, and maybe that's where some folks would get the beef and broth. And if they're used to that and want to continue that, I mean, that's nothing to argue about.
Awesome. Rock and roll. Right.
And it's probably something they're preparing for. So it's not so much a debate for them. It's that, you know, this is what we always do. We know who's going to do it and they're going to be preparing it for us and that's okay. We were just coming out of a place, you know, sometimes you have to kind of gauge what is your church like. When you're in a church like mine, it's got a lot of older members who really are kind of tired and don't have time to put together some of that food. And I'm trying not to and not to make excuses, but when you're younger families, they don't have time to sit and stew the broth, you know, fix the broth up and the beef. You know, a sandwich tray fits just fine. And like you said, a pizza, is it really about the meal itself?
Right.
Or is it just about the community aspect of where we can be gathered together just to enjoy a time, just to converse and fellowship? And if we're so engaged, so much focused on that food itself, then yeah, I think you're right. It is that's problematic in itself.
Yeah.
The only food we should be concerned about is the bread that we take in the midst of that one part of the service.
Right. Or if you're going to make the food the point, teach through the food.
Mm.
Right. Is it the food? If there's a reason, if this is why you do it, teach through that so folks understand that. Because I think that's the other piece is we can't appreciate what we don't understand.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing the traditional, you know, the traditional Passover meal, teach through that so folks know that, you know. I don't know. It's just one of those. It is. There's a new family that's we've had some fellowship with, and they are super big into Old Testament imagery. And really appreciate that. So our family and their family are going to do a Passover meal, a Seder meal together, just our two families, and walk through that. Cause I grew to appreciate it when I went to Israel was the first one I sat through. And so, you know, we're going to do just, I think our two families to sit through this meal and go through the liturgical piece of it. And remember those things. So I don't want to make it seem like, oh, throw out all the tradition. That's not it at all.
You're right.
You know, but if it's something we need to appreciate, let's teach it. You know,
and we're not here to argue about if you appreciate the traditional part of it, and that's what you've done since the 70s and 60s, that is fine and that is great, and that and continue to do that, because more than likely, that is how your church, your congregation experiences and encounters God in the midst of this. And that is what you need to do. But for some of our congregations, don't give us, you know, this confrontation or whatever about that we're not doing it the right way.
Right.
No, we're doing it in a way that we see our congregations. We see the people who were there, and we're trying to figure out what's the best way for them to encounter God in the midst of this service. Because in the end, that's what it's about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about how they encounter Jesus in the midst of it so that they can go from that place and feel like, I have truly worshiped. I've truly met God in the midst of it. I feel so... that was an encounter tonight.
Yeah.
And I appreciate what I was able to do and to hear in the midst of it. You know, part of what I like to do too, John, I was going to say, and I pulled up my things is I've started to use some contemporary Christian music songs as ways to kind of bring people into the space. Sidewalk Prophets, Come to the Table is one of them I use. I love that song. I don't know if people have heard it, but that's a great song because it's a song that illustrates the fact that anybody can come to the table. You know, it's offering this space for us to come. In fact, that's what we're doing as part of our altar setting at the front of the church. Is I've got a table that every week we put a new place setting in. You know, and so I'm thinking about as Palm Sunday comes, is to have some of us sit and just sort of experience the time for a moment. And maybe that'll be where I'll do the feet washing in the midst of it. So I still. It's funny, John, how we do these things. That, you know, some of us are not preparing our services 6 months ahead of time. We're doing it. Sometimes it just, like, how's the Spirit leading me to do it?
What are you doing during offering, brother?
That's right. I got to. Worst part is that in a couple of Sundays, I was thinking about doing the offer last. How am I going to do that? Because I was going to let the sermon be about giving, and I got to have the offer last.
Oh, yeah, you do have no sermon prep time. Well, and I even
I do
wonder.
I choir, I guess.
That's it. And I even wonder, Marty, like some of that is too, like following the Spirit, knowing where you're going. Like, I don't know, I try to make my worship service very contextual for what's happening in the life of the church. We're also working with volunteers, and I don't know about you, but there's plenty of times where what I started planning at the beginning of the week isn't where we came to the end of the week because somebody got sick and they're not going to be there, or, you know, whoever had children's story. It's just interesting.
It's not that I don't want to prepare a couple weeks or something like
that. Oh, yeah, I would love that luxury.
And I can do it some, but I've also got to remember the Spirit might change it, and so I need to be sort of open to that I may be planning to do something this particular Sunday, but all of a sudden something happens, and I've had that many times, is where all of a sudden it's kind of like, I don't know if this is what God wants me to speak on. And now I know what he does want me. And it just, there's a change that happens in the midst of it. So, you know, how do we do that in the midst of Love Feast? I don't know. But I think it's trying to just, sometimes it's just gauging the life of your congregation and where they are in the midst of it all. So,
yeah. Well, and just understanding, you know, that's that. I think in the moment, we also have to remember that, and this is one thing I've always appreciated, Jesus, I wonder how much of that, I mean, of course, Jesus, we can make the Jesus knows everything argument, but Jesus sat down and had a meal with his friends, and so the washing of feet, I think the bread and the cup were this extension of a meal. Yeah, I wonder how much of Jesus was like walking in going, we're going to go into a worship service, but instead it's this candid moment. And I think sometimes in church, we don't always appreciate the beauty in candid moments that are not super planned out and we don't have everything figured out. Jesus is just sitting there with his friends and they're having a meal. Next thing you know, he's breaking bread and you know, giving them wine. And next thing you know, he's washing their feet. I don't think they were prepared for that in the least bit. They're just going to have Passover meal, right? And so even in that, like, it shows the beauty of what happens when we just follow the Spirit. Because I don't think Jesus was like going in like, okay, guys, here we go. This is going to be the most meaningful moment of my ministry with you when we walk in here. Maybe he knew that, but maybe they didn't. Yeah. I don't think they knew that.
It's pretty spontaneous for them of what happened. And,
right.
And it was like you probably tell your folks, it's one of those moments that Jesus has his teaching moments. You know, something comes up and he's going, now's I can talk to him.
Yeah.
And plus to think about the fact that Jesus knew this was going to be his last meal with them.
Right. So he knew that, right? But how much of that also kind of
That's right.
Went through the flow of the meal. And they didn't know that.
And you know, if we wanted to, we could also talk about, you know, the experience of that meal where he's got these guys that some of them's going to deny him, some of them are going to leave, most of them are going to leave him. One of them is going to betray him that night.
Yeah.
And still sat in the midst of that meal together with those men. It's a wonderful illustration of Christ and what he can do with people, no matter where they are in the midst of it all. So,
it's my favorite service of the year. I just think it shapes so much of who the church is. And so if you're listening to this and you, if you're Church of the Brethren, then we encourage you to go to your congregation's Love Feast, whatever that looks like, whenever that is. If you've never been before, take that step out and do that. If you're not Church of the Brethren, and you're listening to this, then find a church close to you that is practicing Love Feast, or maybe practice Love Feast at home. We've done during COVID, we did a Love Feast here, just our family, you know, doing that together. So we really encourage you, because I do think when Jesus said, like, I've set for you an example, you will be blessed if you do it. If we take communion to be, we're supposed to break bread and do the, why would we take the foot washing out of that? So I do believe it. Jesus intended the Love Feast to be an entire service, as most brethren do. So, if you're listening,
John,
to this,
I would also give them this plea here is that don't write anything before you do your Love Feast on the podcast website or our Facebook page.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. We do love to hear from you. Do it afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And share with us what you experienced at Love Feast. Share with us the experience you had in that moment.
Yeah.
It's always good to hear, the last Love Feast, here's what we did, all these. Let's hear what happened at Love Feast.
Yeah.
Let's do that, John. Let's ask for that kind of a question. We might post that on
We'll post that right after the week, maybe the week after Easter, and hear how folks are doing it.
Yeah.
And just how the Spirit of God worked.
Yep. So, well, John, our time is running out. I can see the clock on the wall. It is ticking down.
Hell yeah, I like it. I like it.
You know, it's been good to be back, John. I enjoy doing our podcast. We have a good time, but sometimes life does get in the way, we just sort of we do what we can. So we also had and I know that we're going to go a little over. I also told John, I said, we've got to get back together because it looks like that, and I hope they're listening, is Nate and Matt in their podcast. We're promoting themselves as having some.
We're gonna. You know, they can only do that because they leveraged our popularity.
That's right. So
if you know,
We love Matt and Nate, and we
and congratulations to Nate. Nate's gonna be the new director of leadership development and sport. I don't know, new director of something in the Church of the Brethren.
He's going to be working for the church.
Yeah.
So we'll. Yeah. Congratulations to Nate.
Maybe
so
at some point we'll have him come on and talk about his.
Yeah, as he gets his role going.
We'll let him get up there and figure it out first.
That's right. That's right.
But so, yeah, we appreciate those guys over at the Church and Drive.
Well, John, it's been good to talk to you again, and I'm glad things are going well for you. Blessings to you and the your continued work. And
same to you, buddy.
I'm sure hopefully we'll get together before and do one before we do Love Feast. We'll have something in place.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah, do Love Feast. So, well, thanks to you for listening to the podcast. We do value you as a listener and hope that you have enjoyed what you heard on this episode. We ask you tell all your friends that they can find us on Podbean and iTunes. And as a listener, if you like what you hear, please rate the podcast. Maybe even give a comment. And if you don't like it, well,
keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself. You know, you can connect with us on Facebook or email us at 2ptpodcast@gmail.com. Blessings to you.
God's best on your day.
Thanks for listening to the Two Preachers Talking Podcast. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter or connect with the show by emailing 2ptpodcast@gmail.com. Join us next time for another episode of the Two Preachers Talking Podcast.